Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning service for the visitors who are here. We would like to welcome our visitors. It's good to have new faces around. We have a card in our in the pews. If you could fill that up, we'd be very happy to follow up. I think we're running out of cards. If you don't, then just write it on a piece of paper and give it to me. We'll be happy to follow up with you. We want to continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're coming to a close of that series, and I would invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, from verse 7 all the way to verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, all the way to verse 12. This is the word of the Lord. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this morning as we look to your word, you may feed us from it. I pray, Father, that you may open our hearts to receive your word, to apply it to our lives. I pray, Father, that you may make us attentive, Lord. These are not idle words. This word is our life, Lord. Everything that we do, every decision we make, if we don't make them based on your word, Father, they are vain. So, Father, help us to read this word and understand it, Father, as if our life depended on it, Father, which is a reality. Our life depends on your word. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I just said, the Sermon on the Mount is coming to a close. But Christ has a few more things to say to his listeners. You will agree with me, we've been going through the sermon since September, and you will agree with me that Jesus has set, or has been setting, because we're not done, an impossible task for his listeners and for us. You read through the Sermon on the Mount, and the conclusion that you have all, over and over again is, this is impossible. Entrance in the kingdom of God is impossible since it demands nothing short of perfection. Unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's chapter 5, verse 20. He continues by saying, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, that's impossible. In the rest of the sermon, he says, enter through the narrow gate. He compares the way to eternal life, the way to the kingdom of heaven, as a hard way, Matthew 7, verse 13. Entrance into the kingdom of heaven is difficult. Living as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is also difficult. It requires having a single focus, the kingdom of God. It requires taking radical steps to kill sin in us. If your eyes cause you to sin, rip it off. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Living as citizens of the kingdom of heaven requires us to serve God by devoting ourselves to Him and Him only. You cannot serve two masters. It requires self-denial. We have to kill our pride. We have to kill our boasting. We have to kill our seeking of other people's praise. We have to deal with sin in the heart, not just the external form of sin, but the inward form of sin. We have to stop building treasures on earth and build treasures in heaven. We have to stop worrying about food and drink and clothing and wealth. We have to forgive other people and love those who hurt us. We have to pray for those and pray for and help those who persecute us. We have to rejoice in persecution. We have to stop judging, stop condemning, stop accusing. In the summary of the Sermon on the Mount is what Christ says, is anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's hard. It's even harder when you consider the society in which we live in. Everything in Canada and in the world is about self. It's not about sacrifice. It's about doing whatever works for you. It's about building treasures on earth. It's all about hypocrisy. It's not about who you are. It's about who you present to people on Facebook or on Twitter. It's all about a show. Living as citizens of the kingdom of heaven is hard. And I would say it is impossible. Throughout the sermon, I've had comments through the last 2 months, and some people have said, man, this is really hard. I can't even ask someone, how you doing anymore? Because people answer me, well, Pastor, I feel terrible. Because of Christ said we should not be hypocrites. Some of us can't even try to criticize anything that we see because do not judge. And it's constantly on us. We feel, man, what am I supposed to do? The question is, how can we live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven? And in our text, I think, Christ provides the answer. One of the beautiful things about God is he will give you an impossible task to accomplish, but he will also give you the strength to accomplish it. He will ask you to do something that is impossible, but because he's the God of the impossible, he will also provide the way of doing it. We saw in Sunday school that Peter had fished all night and he caught nothing. And Christ comes in the morning and Christ is like, oh, cast your net again, man. And Peter's like, as Crispin was telling us, I'm an expert fisherman. This is impossible. I'm not going to get anything. We haven't got anything all night. Or do you think we're going to get anything now? Christ said, no, you do it. And he does the impossible, and something that he wasn't expecting to happen, happened. God sometimes requires us to do things that are impossible. But his strength always is perfect in our weakness. In our text this morning, Christ is saying, do you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to become a Christian? Do you want to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven faithfully? I have made it possible. Christmas is about the coming of a Savior in the world. He came to accomplish and to fulfill a task that we couldn't. He said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. That law that is impossible for any of you to follow. That law that reminds you of your sin. That law that reminds you that you are condemned, that you deserve hell. I have come to make it possible for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. You want to live a life, you want to live as a faithful citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Again, you look to Christ. Here Christ provides three simple life-changing imperatives, that will help us live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Ask, seek, and knock. He's saying through the sermon, this is the requirement of the kingdom. If you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you need to be perfect. You need to do things that are impossible. Love your enemies. You need to do things that are hard. But there is a solution. There is a way for you to do it. Ask, seek, and knock. And he stresses it by repeating it differently. He repeats twice. Anyone who asks, receive. Anyone who seeks, find. Anyone who knocks, to him, it will be open. I'm going to go through those three items this morning. Asking, seeking, and knocking. And then we'll draw some words of application based on what Christ is trying to communicate. Number one, Christ says in the text, ask, and you shall receive. This is perhaps a reference to prayer. We saw earlier that he taught his disciples how to pray. You know that praying is a very important aspect of Jesus' teaching. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 14, he gives a principle and a model of prayer. When you pray, say this, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18, he speaks about fasting. Sometimes prayer has to go beyond just 5-10 minutes prayer. Sometimes you have to spend a whole day, deprive yourself from food, so that you can focus on God in prayer and fasting. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13, we have a similar passage where he teaches them how to pray, and then he concludes with ask, seek, and knock. And before this happened, Luke says that his disciples noticed that he was praying in a certain place. And they came to him and said, Master, show us or teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. And then Christ gives them that model of prayer. And then he concludes by saying, ask, seek, and knock. In Luke chapter 18, Christ speaks about boldness in prayer. The poor widow who goes to the judge over and over again, asking the judge to do her justice. And eventually, he does give her justice. And when we pray, prayer involves thanksgiving, praise, adoration, doxology, that is praise to God. But our prayer life also involves request. The word ask that is used in the passage carries the idea of requesting something from God with a sense of urgency. The word can even mean go to the point of demanding something from God. So Christ is saying, when you pray, ask with a sense of urgency. You can even, at some point, I don't want to push it too far, demand. I got to be very careful when I say that. God is our master. We are his children. We are his servant. But the force of the word is that. Ask, and you will receive. And secondly, he says, seek, and you will find. Again, the word carries the force of diligence and persistence. You seek constantly. There are people who are treasure hunters. They go in and they try to find treasures. They study the map and they want to find that treasure. They want to find where that thing is, you know, and they seek hard. Some people are searching for truth. Some people search for soulmates. And they seek and they seek and they have to find the right person, you know, and they're diligent in that. There's even people who search for weird things on earth. There are still people looking for the abominable snowman, the Yeti. Some people have spent their lives studying Bigfoot, or however they call it. And they want to find him, or the Loch Ness Monster. Some people still believe that the Loch Ness Monster exists, and they will find it one day, and they'll keep searching for it diligently. Scientists are spending billions of dollars every year, perhaps, searching for extraterrestrial life. They're studying the planets. They're studying, is there life on Mars? There's water on Mars, so there must be life. And they're seeking diligently. That's the same idea, to seek. And I think God created us with that desire for us to seek for things. In Acts chapter 17, Paul says he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted period and the foundation and the boundary of their dwelling place. And he did that they might seek God. God wants us to seek him and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet, he's actually not far from each of us. God really wants us to seek him. The problem is, we seek all kinds of things except God. And Christ says, ask, seek, and seek diligently. And then thirdly, he says, knock and it will be opened. Knock on the door. And it will be opened. I'm sure that all of you, like me, we get quite annoyed when people come and knock at our door. Especially during the Christmas season. They want to sell us all kinds of things. They want to give us new air conditioner. They want us to vote for them. And sometimes we're annoyed. And now there's all kinds of gadgets. You can put a camera on your door. And if someone comes, you just look at your cell phone. Yeah, I'm not going to answer that. and you... You pretend that you're not home, you know. Some people go through write all kinds of interesting messages on their door to avoid people coming and knocking at their door. I saw some interesting one. Here's one. It says, "Come back with a warrant." There's another one that says, "Please do not knock or ring the bell. It upsets the dog. It upsets the baby. which upsets the mom. There's another one that says, no soliciting. We are too broke to buy anything. We know who we are voting for. We have found Jesus. Unless you're giving away beer, please go away. Some of you have ideas here, I can see. You're going to put that on your door. We don't like to be disturbed. We like to be at peace in our house, you know. But in our text, Jesus says, to the one who knocks, it will be open. We come knocking at Jesus' door, it will be open. That word, knock, is used 9 times in the New Testament. Twice in our text, twice in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 12. Once in Acts chapter 12, you remember when Peter, when the church was praying for Peter's release from prison, or that God may deliver him, and Peter comes knocking at the door. This girl goes and opens the door, and then she sees Peter, and she closes the door, and she goes back, and she's like, I just saw a ghost. It cannot be. No, she says, Peter is at the door. And he says, no, it can't be Peter. It's a ghost. You know, sometimes we pray for things and then the answer is right there and then we can't believe that we have an answer. They're praying that Peter might be released and God releases Peter and it's like, ah, that can't be true. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We pray and then when we see the answer, it's like, yeah, that can't be the answer to the prayer. Peter was right there at the door knocking. The answer to their prayer was right knocking at the door and they wouldn't let him in. And then in Revelation, there's another reference in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, and that's Jesus who's knocking at the door. So in the Bible you have two. You have either Jesus is the host, he's in the house and he's asking us to knock, and sometimes he's the guest, he's outside and he's knocking on our door and he's asking us to come in. He says to the church in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And then in Luke chapter 12, verse 36, he speaks of servants as guests again, waiting for the master to come and knock at the door. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for the master to come from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knock. Blessed are those servants whom the master find awake when he comes. So Jesus is like the master. He's coming and his servants are waiting for him to knock on the door so that it might open. It's about being prepared for the coming of Christ. Here in our passage, I think Jesus is speaking about knocking at the door where he is the host. And the idea, I think, is having fellowship. It's the idea of coming and having fellowship with him. He says later on, enter through the narrow door, the door that leads to eternal life. There is this knocking that when you knock at someone's house, you want to come and have fellowship with that person. You want to enjoy the hospitality of that person. And spiritually, it's the same thing. We knock so that we might have fellowship with Christ. He wants us to come. And if you're not a Christian, Christ wants you to come and knock at the door. And he will open and let you come in. He will not send you away. Seek, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Let me draw some words of application based on that passage. Those words are simple. When that passage is read, and most of you know that passage, there's sometimes two extremes that we can go through, and you can read them in books, you can find them in evangelism, on the TV. Some people think when they read that passage, well, this is a blank check. Ask and it shall be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be open. Well, anything I ask, it shall be given. And you have this mentality of the prosperity gospel that says, you know, anything you ask God, he will give it to you. If you want that BMW, ask and he will give it to you. If you want your neighbor's house, your multi-million dollar neighbor's house, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Anything you ask, it shall be given. And so the idea is that God is just waiting to give us stuff. Whatever we want. A wildest dream is like a genie in a bottle, you know, what are your free wishes? And then he grants us everything that we need.
But you have another extreme where when we read that text, we go directly to James and we say, you do not receive because you do not ask. And when you ask to fulfill your selfish desires and so on and so forth. And we can even keep people from asking. We've got to be very careful that we don't go in both. I think Christ placed this text in a positive light. He's encouraging us to come to Him and to the Father, asking, seeking, and knocking. And I want to put it positive. Before we go to James, and we'll go to James this morning, but before we go to James, I want to stay with what Christ is saying. Christ is saying, first of all, that God knows how to give good gifts to His children, and so we must ask and seek and knock. God knows how to give good gifts to His children. This passage is about the goodness and generosity of God. So before I go and say, you know, don't ask anything and so on, I want to really emphasize on the generosity of God. Christ presents the Father as being generous, as a generous giver. It's a Christmas season, right? And some people know how to give good gifts, and some people don't. You know, the husband who buys a PlayStation for his wife, she never plays video games. He's really buying it for himself. That's a terrible gift. Or appliances. You're not doing the dishes well, so I'm going to buy a dishwasher or something. You know, they're a terrible gift. But generally speaking, we know how to give good gifts. We think of the person and we buy something good. You know, your children, they make the list and then we buy amazing presents for them, you know. You know, it's nothing worse than opening your present and you expect, it's a big box and you expect something and you open and it's like, you know, you expect Legos and you find a sweater. But God, Christ is saying the Father will never give us something that will harm us. God doesn't play tricks with us. When God gives, He gives what is good. He will not give a stone for bread. He will not give a snake for a fish. When God gives us something, He gives what is good. You might not think of it as being good. But whenever God gives us something, He always gives us good things. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like a shifting shadow. When God gives, He gives what is good. And because of that, Christ is saying, ask, seek, and knock. Because you will not find a stingy God when you ask. This passage, as I said, is an affirmation of the goodness of God. I like that song that we sing often here at Christy Street, sometimes more often in Bible study. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He added His mercy. To multiply trials, His multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. The God that we serve is a generous God. None of us can be more generous than God. None of us can be more loving than God. God is a giving God. Before we go as to what to give, we need to know that we have an amazing giver in our God. And if you don't think I'm right, think of what He has given you in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us everything. His one and only begotten Son. God is a giving God. So number one, God knows how to give good gifts to His children. Number two, this passage, because God gives freely, because God wants us to ask, this passage also is an invitation. God wants us to be persistent in our pursuit of Him. And sometimes God gives freely, you know. Sometimes He gives before we even ask. He says earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, He causes His sun to shine on the good and the bad. He causes the rain to fall on the good and the bad. Sometimes you don't ask and He just gives. He's a giver. He provides for us in ways that we didn't even ask. But sometimes God wants us to ask.
There are blessings, there are things that God wants to give, either to individuals or to the church, but it's the result of us asking Him. There are things that God wants us to have, but as the result of us searching for it. There are doors that God wants to open, if I want to use that image, but He wants us to knock. And that's how we will receive it. All three of those words, those verbs, are in the present tense. For those who like grammar, and especially the TBS student, it's the present imperative. I think they like that. And it means that you ask repeatedly, that you do it continually, every day, regularly. If I would paraphrase this, I would say, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That's what Christ is saying. In Luke chapter 18, we should pray and never give up. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if Christ is talking to the children of Israel, and he's saying, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's not just seeking for the Lord. It's seeking him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, we all of parents, those who are parents there, or even if you're not a parent, you know when you send someone for something and they come back and say, I didn't find it. It's like, did you really look for it? Where did you look for it? You know, we ask our children to get our stuff and they never come back with... they browse. I didn't find it. Here, Christ, God is saying to Israel, you will find the Lord if you seek him with all your heart. And with all your soul. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 15. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is a Christmas season, and I was drawn to the text of Luke chapter 2, verse 36, where this woman, who was a prophet named Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. The text says that she was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped God day and night, fasting and praying. And then Jesus comes one day as a baby into the temple. And coming up unto them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, about Jesus, to all who were looking towards the redemption of Israel. It seems that this woman and many people in Israel were praying that God may visit his people. This woman is 80. 84. Some of us are 84. She stayed married for 7 years. She didn't look for another husband. She might have. She could have. But she didn't. She decided that she's going to dedicate the rest of her life to prayer. And I can imagine her waking up in the morning, going to the temple. Lord, would you visit your people, Israel? We are under Roman rule. You promised the Messiah, would you visit us? And then she goes home and she comes back the next day. Lord, would you visit your people Israel? We're waiting for Messiah. Would you send him? He comes back the next day and the next week and the next month and the next year and the next decade. And she comes back into the temple. Lord, visit your people Israel. You've promised to send the Messiah. Please visit your people Israel. For years and years, she comes back over and over again asking God. Praying to God in fasting, praying. And finally, God blesses her and she sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is saying we need to ask, seek, and knock, and we need to do it constantly, regularly, not giving up. How hard do you ask? How hard do you seek? How hard do you knock this morning? How often do you pray? Sometimes we pray for something and that's it. We want it immediate. No, God wants us to be persistent in prayer. He wants us to come over and over again asking for the same thing. This is a passage where God invites us to spend time in his presence in prayer and supplication and seeking him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon his name. Seek hard. Knock hard. So the door will be open. Then number three. That's where we get to the what should we ask, what should we seek. and what should, and where and when should we knock, or where should we knock? As I said earlier, this is not a blank check. And we know that not by reading James only, but by reading Christ himself. He said, when you pray, say, let your will, not mine, be done. I don't think Christ is referring either to material things, because earlier again in the passage he says, in 6:25, he said the pagans ask for these things. Don't ask for material things. God knows that you need them. Other people seek those things. You should not be seeking those things. You should be seeking the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. So he's not talking about seeking material good, although he says you should ask for your daily bread. But in essence, that's not quite what Christ is asking us to ask, seek, and knock for. And it's not because material things are not needed. Our brother prayed that God may provide for our needs, that he may provide jobs and all those things. It's not that we don't need those things. The text does say God knows that we need them. Why it's not the focus of Christ? Because that's too little. If that's all you ask God for, you're not asking for much. You take someone to a huge store. You know, it's Christmas. Toys R Us. Take your children to Toys R Us. And tell them you can take whatever you want. And you go in there and you take a little bouncy ball. And then you come out, I got a bouncy ball. You know, is that how we do? You know, God says, you know, ask and you shall receive. And you know, God, can you give me a car? We think that that's going to solve all our problems. We're asking for too little. Material things are good, but they're too little. It's not enough. There's so much more that God wants to give us. There's riches untold, the Bible says. We're asking for too little. Ask and you shall receive. We seek for too little things. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Knock at the door of Christ. Seek fellowship with him. As opposed to having material blessing. In Luke chapter 11, which is the parallel passage, Christ says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you put Luke 11 and Matthew 7 to 11, you put them together, what Christ is really asking us to ask him, the good gift that God wants to give us, is the Holy Spirit. And why is it the Holy Spirit? Because it is through the Holy Spirit that we can seek the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we said at the beginning of the sermon that it is impossible to pursue God. It is impossible for us to become Christians without God's help. It is impossible for us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. The only way for us to live a life that is pleasing unto him, the only way for us to build for ourselves treasures in heaven, is through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who can lead us to Christ and to salvation. He's the one who can make us holy. He's the one who can make us love our enemies. He's the one who can help us deal with sin in our lives. He's the one who can help us avoid judging other people. He's the one who can give us the strength to remove any sinfulness, any bitterness, anything that doesn't please God. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Material blessings cannot do that. A new job will not make you holy. $1 million will not make you loving. A new car will not make you love your neighbor as yourself. None of those things will. But the gift of the Holy Spirit will. It will make you pleasing before God. There's a writer who says, if you are seeking for the happiness that comes from success, you're going to miss it. If you're seeking for the happiness that comes from money, that fleeting feeling will also elude you, will always elude you. If you're seeking for security, you'll always be afraid. If you're seeking Jesus, then true joy will be yours. I saw a post on Facebook. There was this guy. They showed this portrait of this guy. He's on his couch and his hand is behind his head. And he's looking in the empty with intent. And there's a caption underneath that says, you, when you're trying to transfer the $1 million in your head into your bank account. It's not going to happen. It's not like you try hard. How many times we daydream of being rich and having so much? We try so hard to get those things, and you're like, oh, Lord, if I could just get that $1 million. You know? And Christ is saying, use that intensity, use that passion, use that seeking to seek for things that are worthwhile. Ask for spiritual things and it shall be given. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and you shall find it. Knock at the door of Christ to have fellowship with him and he will open the door. And you will enjoy eternity in his presence and there will be reward in heaven. Let me end by saying one more thing. Number four, Jesus is doing those things as well. Jesus is constantly asking the Father to keep us. Jesus is constantly praying to the Father. The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. In the pastoral prayer, he asked the Father to keep us. If you are standing firm today, it's because Jesus Christ was praying for you 2,000 years ago. I pray for those that you have given me, that you may keep them from this world. Christ is also asking things on our behalf. And what he's asking on our behalf are spiritual things for us to grow. Christ is also seeking, the Bible says he's seeking to save those who are lost. And if you're here this morning and you're seeking Christ, know that he's also seeking for you. And if you seek him with all your heart, he will allow himself to be found. He's not very far. You just have to seek him with honesty and you will find him. And sometimes, Christ is also knocking at the door of our hearts. We've kicked him out. And he wants to come in and have fellowship with us again. If you're a believer and you are not walking with the Lord, you are struggling in your faith, you have somehow kicked Christ out, because he loves you, he's knocking at your door. I stand on the door and knock. He wants to come in to have fellowship with you. Don't keep him out. Open your heart to him. Open the door so he can come in and fellowship with you. And you can enjoy his presence forever. Amen.